Thank you. I'd also like to begin by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land in which we're gathered on and pay my respects to their elders past, present and emerging. I'd also like to acknowledge my research team, my supervisor Jane Hocking and Kit Fairley that provided me with invaluable resources and feedback throughout the process, as well as the research team and triage nurses that enabled me to recruit my participants at Melbourne Sexual Health Centre. It's actually fantastic to lead on from that previous talk. Actually, we found similar issues with the rates increasing in STIs in women, and we also thought we'd like to explore this. We found that in recent years, the syphilis rates and gonorrhea rates in women had increased by 56% with gonorrhea and 323% infectious syphilis. This was the data between 2013 and 2017. This sparked considerable concern about changing STI epidemics, particularly among the heterosexual populations. While it was unclear why these were increasing, we also had similar postulations that this might be due to increased online dating and dissociated mixing, more overseas travel, and the one that we wanted to focus on was the concept of bisexual bridging, or men who have sex with men and women taking STIs from the one population into the other. In order for us to better understand whether this bridging concept had a significant impact, we wanted to look at the two different subgroups of MSM, men who have sex with men only, or MSMO, and men who have sex with men and women. We explored their sexual practices and also how they access healthcare and some of the barriers to this. Comparing these two subgroups enabled us to explore the impact of bridging that it may be having on the population. Semi-structured interviews were conducted with participants that were recruited from an urban public sexual health clinic and via community advertisements and social media in Melbourne. Men were eligible if they were cisgendered, aged 18 plus years, and had had sex with either men or men and women in the previous 12 months. Data were analysed thematically. The study participants consisted of 28 men between the age of 18 and 54, with the average age being 28. Participants were recruited equally from clinic and community. All men lived in Melbourne with representation from inner and outer suburban postcodes. There were 15 MSMO with an average age of 26.4 and 13 MSMW with average age of 30. Of the MSMW participants, 7 reported the majority of their recent sexual partners had been women, and 6 reported that they were mostly male. During the previous 12 months, both groups of men reported multiple sexual partners, although the number of partners tended to be significantly higher among the MSMW population. The key themes that were identified and will be discussed are as follows: sexual risk, discussion of sexual risk with partners, attitudes to STIs, accessing sexual healthcare, community, homophobia, and bi-erasure. When discussing the interplay of competing motivations with a partner about using condoms, it was expressed that there were opposite pressures applied depending on the gender of the partner, whether they were male or female. It was shown that men often wanted unprotected sex and female partners often elected for protected sex. It was also shown that trends of condoms use are changing within the MSM population. At the time of the study, the PBS recently subsidised the availability of PrEP to all MSM. Increased availability of highly effective HIV chemoprophylaxis was thought to be creating a shift in condom usage within the MSM population. Chemsex was found to be disproportionately represented among the MSMW population compared to MSMO. Most of the MSMW reported at least one occasion of engaging sexually with other men while they were under the influence of illicit drugs. Although some of the MSMO also reported engaging in chemsex, it was found to be less frequent and not a stimulant for MSM encounters as was described by some MSMW. However, the discussion surrounding chemsex was coloured by each individual's perspectives on illicit drug use. It became apparent that there was significant social stigma around drug use, which often created an extra layer of difficulty for both groups, MSMO and MSMW, in disclosing their sexual practice honestly to their sexual health professionals. Despite these differences, there was found to be a great deal of concordance noted between the two groups when it came to group sex and sex toy use, with both being very common practice. Sex toys were well understood to be potential vectors of STIs, and most participants either maintained them as monogamous toys or elected to use condoms on insertable toys. Group sex was also found to be very common among both groups and was noted to be an environment in which it was more difficult to manage sexual risk. MSMW were found to be frequently not disclosing their homosexual practice with their female partners. It was expressed that sexual health conversations in general were more difficult with female partners than male. MSMO participants expressed a pragmatic approach to STIs, and there was far less stigmatisation around a positive diagnosis. However, there were still some MSMO and many MSMW that stigmatised contracting an STI. Furthermore, many MSMO participants understood and engaged in regular 3-monthly health checks, with many MSMO being PrEP users requiring 3-monthly checkups to gain continued access to PrEP. Most MSMW were missing the predominantly gay-targeted messaging that MSM are at higher risk and should be seeking 3-monthly sexual health checks. It was found that many MSMW were getting more irregular tests closer to once or twice a year. Accessing sexual health was complicated for both groups, who expressed a wide range of experiences with multiple different health practitioners. Many MSMW expressed concerns about being judged by a doctor and subsequently receiving different levels of care if they revealed their sexual practices. MSMO expressed that they felt more comfortable using sexual health-specific clinics, as they were due to the normalisation of divergent sexual practices within these clinics. When seeking sexual health care from a GP, there were a number of MSMO that expressed a fear of rejection because they'd been seeing their GP as a child or prior to coming to terms with their sexual identity and effectively had to come out to their GP. Furthermore, some of the participants shared bad experiences with uninformed practitioners that asked very judgmental questions. Where MSMO expressed a sense of normalisation at the sexual health clinic, some MSMW felt that these clinics had gained a reputation for being gay or queer spaces, thus making it difficult for them to feel comfortable attending. Many MSMW were found to access sexual health through a GP, who may be less engaged in sexual health and would not often probe into an in-depth sexual history. Although this negated the need for disclosure of their sexual practices, many of these MSMW were being inadequately tested, as rectal and oropharyngeal swabs are seldom standard practice for presumed heterosexual male STI screen. The importance of belonging and being part of a community was expressed by many of the participants. Many participants expressed significant benefit from being part of a queer community. However, it was noted by some MSMW that they did not feel they were welcome in this community. Many MSMO expressed that in belonging to the gay community, it facilitated a real sense of pride in their identity. Furthermore, belonging to this community destigmatized sexual health and regular testing as it was perceived as normal. Some MSMW expressed that being part of this queer community was an important part of them coming to terms with their non-heterosexual desires in a heteronormative society. MSMW in this study that were involved in the queer community expressed a greater sense of acceptance of their own sexual identity. However, many MSMW expressed that they compartmentalised their life, choosing to be hetero appearing most of the time and engaging in sex with men in relative secret. It is apparent from this study that both groups, MSMO and MSMW, suffer from significant social stigmatisation of MSM activity. One participant noted, "Unfortunately, part of the Australian identity, or the classic Australian identity, is being macho, emotionally disconnected, unsophisticated, unintelligent, sporty, alcoholic. There's no room in any of that to be gay." Bisexuality was considered largely invisible. This was perceived to confer less generalised homophobia simply because it was less talked about. However, it was thought that there is less acceptance of bisexuality and it is frequently misunderstood. It was felt that accepting bisexuality is more of a challenge because people cannot relate it to their experience of being attracted to only one gender. The overwhelming perspectives from both groups was that Australia is still very conservative in its acceptance of divergent sexuality. One participant made this very poignant observation. "Homosexual relations are viewed positively when they mimic heterosexual relationships. And I think sleeping with both men and women deviates with that enough. So the fact that I have a boyfriend and I sleep with women as well is viewed more negatively than if I sleep with other men." Important clinical implications can be derived from the data that was collected. MSMW in the sample tended to have greater sexual risk than MSMO. They had higher numbers of partners and were likely to engage in chemsex. Furthermore, MSMW were found to have poor condom use with female partners and were not disclosing their MSM activity with these partners. The failure of adequate communication with female partners placed these partners at increased risk of contracting an STI. When designing new protocols to target high-risk MSMW, it is important for health practitioners to be aware of the motivations and perspectives of the MSMW they are targeting. It was evident from the data that many of the participants from both groups felt a level of unease disclosing their sexual practice to healthcare professionals. Furthermore, some MSMW reported seeking sexual health from a GP who did not engage them in a sexual history, resulting in inappropriate or incomplete testing. It would appear that not only do all doctors need better training to increase awareness and acceptance of divergent sexual practice, but that GP sexual history taking needs to be redeveloped to include more of a sexual act-based risk assessment that can gather important information in a non-threatening way that is essential for appropriate testing. The unfortunate reality of the origin of much of the adversity faced by both MSMO and MSMW is the social acceptance of homosexual behaviour, is the lack of social acceptance, sorry. It was found that the undercurrents of homophobia continue to have significant impact on Australian society and can create some of the most pervasive and difficult to overcome barriers for many MSMO and MSMW in accessing healthcare. Some of the participants expressed having negative experiences with health professionals in the past, and some others had been victims of physical abuse in the community as a result of their sexual preferences. This therefore requires healthcare professionals to work to rebuild the trust of many of their patients, who are at risk of disengaging from all sexual health should they be faced with further adversity. Finally, this study found that there was a significant variation found within the MSMW population. To define someone as heterosexual or homosexual indicates that they are at two poles of a single linear spectrum. This dichotomous linear spectrum does not allow for the full diversity of sexuality or gender expression that is represented within the queer community. This created a very diverse group of MSMW, as there were any participant that did not fit at either end of the dichotomous spectrum. This extreme level of variation within the population creates a real challenge for targeting public health promotion and educational strategies that will be able to maximally target members of the MSMW population. Thank you.